As Tony was communicating this morning about forever, I love that word forever. Since I became a Christian 42 years ago, forever has been a part of my vocabulary ever since. And other words that kind of mean the same, like eternal. Eternal is a pretty nice word. And I was reading a book lately by Rick Joyner, and in it he communicates about if we were in a cave and we come across a gold vein that was huge, a huge gold vein, and that gold vein would meet the needs of every human being on the planet Earth, would we ever pan for nuggets? Or pan for gold dust again? Absolutely not. And that's compared unto us really coming to the true knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is that gold vein. Pastor has been preaching on the names of God over the last few weeks. And it really helps to come to a clear understanding of how much of a gold vein our Lord is. I have here, in my past, I was in ministry full time for 22 years. And during that time, I was a children's pastor, a youth pastor, a family life pastor, a counselor, and way back when, a young little girl, she was about 9 years old, she handed me this paper, and I just came across it this morning, right after Pastor called me, and I said, wow, that's great. It really ties into what Pastor was talking about. And she wrote down 16 different names of God. And I'm not going to go through them all, but, you know, God, the eternal creator, eternal, there's that word again, the Lord, our sovereign master, the Lord will see and provide for us, the Lord's our banner, the Lord's our healer, the Lord's our peace, our righteousness, our sanctifier, the Lord is the Lord of hosts, the Lord Most High, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord is the Lord our God. And just a lot of names. So it really blessed me to find that paper this morning. So what I'm going to share with us with you today is something that's eternal. Everyone that's sitting in this room today is eternal. Matter of fact, everyone that's outside of this church today is eternal. Everyone is eternal. We don't live like we're eternal. Many people don't live like we're eternal, don't know that they're eternal, okay? We're made up of three parts. We're made up of a spirit. The spirit is what's called the real us. And when we're born in this world, okay, we grow up and we learn good and evil, and our spirit that I believe when we're born is alive unto the things of God, but very quickly becomes numbed by all the influences of the world. It kind of separates us from God. So our spirits really are separated from God until we come to a place in which we realize that there's more to life than just what we know up here and what we see with our eyes. And we come to a place and we realize that we need something greater than ourselves. And we come to know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And at that time, a miracle happens in every one of our lives. Our spirit, which is eternal, becomes regenerated. It's called regeneration, which means that what our spirit was separated from God, now it is connected with God. I remember the day, I can do this, the day that happened in my life, I just went through a divorce. And it was in my BC days, before Christ days. I went through a divorce, and I had two children. They were only 6 months old and a little over a year old, two sons. And I went through a divorce, and during that time and before that time, I was seeking, is there a God? And if there is a God, how does he mean for us to live? Well, anyways, after that divorce, it was my wife was a registered nurse and set her up in a condominium with the kids, and it gave me an opportunity to answer my questions. So this was back in 1976. And I put a backpack on. I had $7.50 in my pocket. And I just took off. I wasn't sad or unhappy or anything. I actually felt like I was able to really answer my questions now. And not too many people do what I did, but a friend of mine was going to Memphis State at the time, and I asked him if he would drop me off at the Tennessee River on his way to school. So I'm getting in his car with my backpack and stuff, and we drive down towards Tennessee, and I said, okay, there's a river right there. He goes over the bridge on the freeway, and he lets me out. And he goes, are you crazy? What are you going to do? You know, how are you going to eat, or what are you going to do? And I just told him, I said, I truly believe that God will take care of me. And so I started just wandering around, and I walked for days and days and hitchhiked all over the place. And one day I was in a park, and I was camping in my little one-man tent, and it rained for 3 days straight. 3 days, totally, all day long, all night, just rained for 3 days straight, and I'm in this little tent. So all I'm doing is waking up, and what do? I'm reading the Bible. I go to sleep, wake up, eat some granola bars, read the Bible. And I really came to a clear understanding because I was raised Jewish, okay? And I had a good knowledge of the Old Testament, but I didn't have much knowledge of the New Testament. And so I was reading the whole Bible, okay? And I came to really connect the dots of all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament and how it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And I'm going back through the Bible and looking at all these things, and I'm going, how can not everybody not believe in that Jesus is the Messiah? I mean, I was reading this one about Jesus in, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born in Bethlehem, it was told that he was going to ride into Jerusalem, that the Messiah was going to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Just something that little amazed me. And Jesus fulfilled it when he did. So I came to a place of really realizing about Jesus being the Lamb of God. Because in the Old Testament, you know, my ancestors would raise their best animal and use it for a sacrifice to cover over their sins. And here, God was providing us the last blood sacrifice. And I realized that truth. And one day, during those 3 days of rain, I bow down and receive Christ. The cool thing that happened at that time, and it was really quite amazing. The Bible says that the Spirit of the living God will come to dwell in our mortal bodies the time we receive Christ as our Savior. Now, I actually sensed that happening at that time in that little tent. And from that moment on, not only did I believe, but I actually really knew that I was being guided. You know, Star Wars, the Force. The Force was with me now. And as I was hiking around from that time on, the Lord was putting on my heart and my mind what I am supposed to be doing and where I'm to be going. And I had a lot of pretty incredible experiences for the next eight to 10 months wandering around. But here's what the Lord was telling me. Whatever I give you from this moment on, I want you to pass down to your sons. And so, therefore, even though I left with $7.50 for about a year and a half, and during that whole time, I never had a need. The Lord always provided food for me. He always provided things for me to do, people to talk to. I could go through a lot of different experiences I went through and share those with you, but that's not my purpose for this morning. My purpose for this morning is to give all of us a challenge. In Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means the very God of peace to separate us and to sanctify us and to separate us for His glory, to sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I know for sure Jesus is coming back. And our goal is to be ready when He does, to be ready. And God has given us everything we need to be ready. When the Holy Spirit came to dwell within my mortal body, when I received Christ as my Savior, and I really sensed I was being guided ever since then, and I'm still being guided in my life today, I came back into the complexities of society, okay, and miraculous things began to happen in my life. Within a week, I had a job, went to go visit my wife and my kids, and my ex-wife, she asked me if I could take the kids for a little while, and I said, yeah, I'm looking for a place to live. That day, my sister calls me up and says, hey, I see a place for rent, blah, 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 blah. And it's the place that I'm still living in right now that I now own. It was a duplex, and now it's one house again. And some of you come to our home for Bible study on Tuesdays. The Lord has just provided one thing after another. And so, yeah, I had a place to live. I took my children, my boys, and they live with me for 3 years straight at that time. And I would take them to daycare in the morning while I went to work and pick them up in the evening. And my wife, Sue, was the daycare teacher. And so the Lord has just provided ever since. And shortly after that, we decided we need to start going to church. And we did start going to church. And shortly after that, I got involved in ministry. And 22 years later, I was in full-time ministry. All my life I've been doing remodeling jobs and construction. Jewish carpenter. I thought that'd be a good thing to be. And the Lord has provided big time, because I really realize He's that vein of gold. So we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes back. God has given us everything we need. And as I was beginning to say, we are spirit beings. That's the real us, the eternal us. Okay? And the way that the scriptures talk about it is like believe in your heart. That's like believe with your spirit. Sometimes our heads have a hard time wrapping around that. Believe with my heart. Well, my heart's a beating thing within inside of us. But what it's really saying is from the center of your being, know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. From the center of your being. The scripture that I like the most in the Bible, and I like all of them, but this one is profound to me and has helped my life greatly. And it's in Mark chapter 18, verses 30 and 31. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it's the next verse that made this verse very important to me. Jesus said, there is no commandment greater than these. And so I started thinking about that. Love God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. What God is telling us in this scripture is the most important thing in life is relationship with Him and relationship with people is the most important thing in life. And one thing I know for sure is that this life on this earth is temporary. The Bible says that it is like a vapor. It's like a fog that comes in the morning, and by afternoon it is gone. Don't we know that? The older we get, we keep saying, man, how fast time goes when you watch your children grow up. You're going to school, you're in fifth grade, you know, and then all of a sudden you turn around, I'm graduating, you know. And just time flies, and we just realize that time is fleeting. The Bible also says that life on this in this temporal life is like a passing cloud, here today, gone tomorrow, okay? But we are eternal beings. The Bible says, do not live for the things of this world, but set your affections on the eternal things. So the eternal things, to me, are more important than the temporal things because they last forever. Relationships. Do you know that those of you in here that know Jesus as your Savior, that knows that you are eternal, do you know that our relationships will continue forever? And those that have gone on to the Lord in the past, that I hope to see Him again. Some of my best friends of the past are gone. The older I get, the more there are waiting for me up there. So to be ready for eternity, God has given us everything we need. First of all, He loved us so much, He gave us His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe on Him would have everlasting life. That's called salvation. So salvation was the beginning of the guarantee for our eternity. And then on top of that, when we receive Christ as our Savior, The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our mortal body. We have a helper that dwells within our mortal body. You know, here's the thing. When you don't have chapter and verse to know how you should deal with an affair of this temporal existence, you can always ask yourself, does this glorify God? And the Spirit within inside of you will give you the correct answer. Every time, even if you don't have chapter and verse, you'll still know the right answer on how to deal with situations because the Spirit of the living God dwells within your mortal body. The next thing the Lord gave us to help us deal with life on this earth. Oh, let me start with this. If you were born into this world, you were meant to be here. And there's a plan for your life. And if I can put, there's kind of a universal plan for every one of us. And that universal plan is this. You're on a journey. And this journey is to have to deal with all the issues with sin, righteousness, this temporal life, eternity. Is there a God? You know, what are the way? Is there a God? If there's a God, is there a way that He means for us to live? You know, all of this whole purpose in this life is to go on this journey and with the help that God has given us, be able to realize what His plan, big picture plan for us is. And that big picture plan is a guaranteed eternal life. So salvation was the beginning of that eternal journey. The Holy Spirit was some help that we were given through the gift of salvation to help us on that eternal journey. The Word of God is something that God provided for us to help us deal with that eternal journey, okay? Because the eternal, even though we are spirit beings, we have a soul. The soul is our thinking abilities and our emotions and stuff. And don't they lose control sometimes? Don't they take off in directions that aren't so good for us? Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There's the Word of God helping me deal with my thinking, okay? And I try to do that every day. I try to acknowledge God every day for that day. And if I don't, I'm on my way to work and I forgot to do that, and I go, oh, man, you know, if I don't do that, I feel like I'm going to go astray or something. It's like the beginning rule of my life to ask God to guide me during that day in whatever I'm going to do. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's another scripture that says, I got to control my thinking. See, my spirit's regenerated. That's a miracle that's free gift. The regeneration of a spirit of my spirit to be alive unto the things of God is a free gift. It comes with salvation. But the Bible says my mind has to be renewed day by day. And don't we know that? First Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. I want to know the things that are given me by God to help me deal with living in a sin-filled world. You know, I have 5 children, and I have 12 grandchildren. And my grandchildren are being challenged at school with bullying. Anybody have that situation going on in their life with their grandchildren? Or are you going to school? Do you have any challenges with bullying? Anybody in here hear that type of stuff? Raise your hand. Come on. Get it up there. Okay, I see some. So I just bought two shirts for my grandkids. You know, I saw them on the internet. It's a really cool, colorful shirt with a big hand that says, "Stop bullying." And I said, "Would you guys wear this to school?" And two of them said yes. And the other one said, "I don't think so." So the two that will wear them, I'm letting them wear them, see what happens. Dealing with the affairs of this world, and we live in a sin-filled world. I mean, it goes way back to the Garden of Eden with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There is good and there is evil in this world, and we're dealing with it all the time. We're dealing with it in our thought life, with the battles in our flesh, with what we see, what we hear, everything. What does God's Word say about our thought life? A lot. In Philippians 4:8, that's a pretty good one to base your thought life on. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." It's pretty clear. There's a lot of responsibility we have to use the gifts and the tools that God has given us to be able to live a victorious life and be ready for when Jesus comes back. To love God with all your heart, all soul, your mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. I do believe relationships and being successful in relationships is probably the most important job we have on this earth. Even though we spend a lot of time in our occupations, well, in those occupations there's relationships, but sometimes you can't be yourself, okay? But in your marriages you can be yourself. At home you can be yourself. With your friends, I'm not talking about working acquaintances, I'm talking about your friends, you can be yourself. And as much as you can at work, be yourself too. And being yourself is being real. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're going to want to stand up for what is true, what is right, what God reveals to you as being truth through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God that you know, through just knowing what is right from what is wrong, you know, and standing up for it. And that's another gift that God gives us, each other, relationships. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. It's like two friends coming together and dealing with issues in life. You know, I haven't had, you know, when you're young and you're going to school, friends are everything, okay? And after you leave high school, you start realizing a lot of friends aren't really friends. You know, they kind of use you for your car or use you for this or that or whatever. And you start realizing that people play games in life, you know. And the cool thing is every once in a while you come across some friends that are true. I have a few of those friends that are true, but there aren't many. In school, you think many are. But as you grow up, you realize they're few and far between. I have a friend that I've had since ninth grade, and I work with him every day right now. And it's just kind of neat to look back and say, wow, we've been friends for a lot of years. I just got a Facebook, or actually an instant message from a friend of mine that says, you know, it says that if you've been a friend with somebody for more than 7 years, you're not friends anymore. You're family. I thought that was pretty cool. There's a true friend. And so when you have challenges in life, it's kind of nice to have a friend to really talk to. You know, when I came back from traveling around and Jesus was now my Savior, I was now trying to learn how God means for me to live in this sinful world, and I was getting into the Bible and going to church, and one of my friends said, he said, one way to help you is get under the spout where the glory comes out. So wherever that is, do it. And back then, we would go to meetings on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. They don't have those kind of things anymore. But back when I got saved, there was a thing happening called the Jesus movement in our society, and church was happening all the time. And so we went to meetings all the time, and they were good. Now, you can still get under the spot where the glory comes out. You know, my home is a place where we get under the spot where the glory comes out, and we read the Word of God and talk about it, and we have friends come over, and we talk about life and challenges and truths and, you know, and things that are going on in our world and our government, all that kind of stuff. We talk about all those things, and so I believe this, that our home should be the closest place to heaven on earth. But it doesn't just happen. You have to make it that way. And you know what? Our marriages should be the closest relationships to heaven on earth. But it doesn't just happen either. And friendships could be the same thing. You know, they say, to be a true Christian, this is the closest we're ever going to get to hell, living in this temporal life. And to be someone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, this is the closest they're going to get to heaven. Now, I don't judge any person. You know, whoever I run into, I love not judging people, because it frees me up of a lot of anxiety, because I'm not worthy to judge people. I don't know their situations. I don't know everything about them. I have no idea. I leave that up to God. Let Him do it. Why should I worry about it? So I judge nobody. There's a lot of things that I don't agree with, but I'm not pointing my finger at somebody and saying, you're going to hell because you're a homosexual. Or you're going to hell because you killed somebody. Or you going to hell for this reason or that reason. I don't judge anybody. All I do is love them. Even my enemies, I try to love. And that ain't easy. It's tough enough loving people that you don't know, yet somebody you know has done you wrong. But love never fails, because the Bible said so. And so, I don't judge people on their eternal outcome. I pray for them that their eternal outcome will be glorious. You know, that place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no illnesses. So, in the area of preparing for eternity, we need to learn to love God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, our strength, and to just keep thinking about Jesus being that vein of gold, being everything that can meet everybody's need in the entire world. But there's some rules about having those needs met. One is, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Two is, you need to seek and find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. There's all kinds of scriptures and rules and regulations in the Bible. And we need to learn what those are and follow them. Loving God with all your heart or soul, your mind or strength is something we need to do. Loving our neighbor as ourselves is something we need to do. There's all kinds of scriptures. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We're actually supposed to hate the ways of the world. See, there's a separation between the ways of God and the ways of the world. We're supposed to hate the ways of the world, love the ways of God, and we're supposed to understand the difference between the two. So there's a lot of disciplines we need to use in our life, but Jesus said something that gives you a lot of confidence in being able to do that. And I always get it confused, so I'm trying to look at the scripture that it's the right one. Maybe it goes like this. Take my yoke upon you. And if I get it wrong, you guys can correct me if you know it. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Did I get that right? All right, okay. So what I'm saying is this. It's really easy to live a righteous life all the way into eternity. It's really easy. The hard part, okay, is separating from the ways of the world. The hard part is not following the flesh, the desires of the flesh all the time. The hard part is how to deal with those people that aren't on the same journey you're on. That's the hard part, okay? When somebody starts ridiculing you or not agreeing with the way you're going, but you know you're right, you have to be able to communicate truths in a loving way, not judging, to hopefully win a friend. And if not, the Bible says, separate and come out from among them. For it's more important to live a life that glorifies God and is part of the journey into eternity than to give that up for the ways of the world that are temporal. Could I have the worship team come back up, please? The Bible tells us that there are ways that seem right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And we have to understand that just human thinking is not enough to be able to just trust all the time. But God's thinking is. And God made a way for us to be able to understand everything that is true, everything that is right, and to be able to live a life that glorifies Him, which is also the best for us. For He is a loving Father, and He only wants us to have a relationship with Him. But He's putting us through this huge test called life on this earth. And it is not easy all the time. But one thing we can be guaranteed as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do have the victory. I know it. I read the end of the book, and we win. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word that is life. The source, that Jesus is the source of our everything. Of everything that we should be thinking about, of everything that we should be speaking in our mouth, and about everything that we should be doing in our life. Help us and guide us, Spirit that lives within us, grow up strong within us so that we can stand against the evil tide of this world and we can live a righteous life, that we can raise our children in the way in which they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it, so that we can have relationships that are true and real and eternal. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have provided for us in the gifts that you have given us. through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and through each other. Strengthen us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, we praise your name. Amen.
Amen.